We all can recite together and read the translation and discuss a little bit, or we'll go to the next. Brahmatma Bhagavan Vishnu Vihar. We can read together. Brahmatma Bhagavan Vishnu Vihar. Artha na jani murtha artha kareya. Translation. Not knowing that Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan are all features of Krishna, foolish scholars speculate in various ways. 61. Avatari Narayan Krishna avatar teho chaturbhuja ya manusya akar. Because Narayan has four hands, whereas Krishna looks just like a man, they say that Narayan is the original God, whereas Krishna is but an incarnation. Avatari Narayan Krishna avatar teho chaturbhuja ya manusya akar. Oh, this is it. 62. Ei mate nana rupa kare purva paksha tahare nirjite bhagavata patta daksha. In this way, their arguments appear in various forms, but the poetry of the Bhagavatam expertly refutes them all.
Hare Krishna.
Nice.
So, this is a backup here. We are now in the second chapter of the Adi Lila, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is trying to establish the supremacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by establishing the equivalence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sri Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. This is his point. But if he is Krishna himself, what's the significance of that? The significance is that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And so first he is establishing the supremacy of Krishna himself as Swayam Bhagavan. And once he does that, then he will conclude by saying, well, Krishna is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. So there is this famous verse, Vadanti Tat Tatva Vidas Chattam Yadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadavadav and is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma and the personality of Godhead. What Krishnadas Kaviraj is recognizing or acknowledging is that the different people have different conceptions of the Supreme. Some people think that Brahman is the Supreme and that Krishna has a material form. Brahman took material form in Sattva Guna, and that's what Krishna is. Some people think that the Paramatma is the Supreme, and others, the devotees, say that Bhagavan is the Supreme. So who is the Supreme then? And this famous verse says that actually the Supreme is Bhagavan, and Brahman and Paramatma are partial characteristics of this Bhagavan that are perceived by people according to their qualifications. So those who are fully qualified, give me a second. So those who are fully qualified, they actually know that the Supreme Lord is the full reality, complete understanding, the highest reality, if you will. So that's why he's quoting this verse. Krishna is Advaigyana. So this is the 265. Advaigyana tattva vastu Krishna swarupa brahma divatana rupa. So there is only one truth, Advaigyan. That truth manifests itself in three features, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Advaya, one undivided absolute truth, that's Krishna. So Bhagavan, Paramatma, just put it this way so that, Bhagavan, Paramatma, so just make it tight like this. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. Now, Krishna is the one undivided truth manifesting in three features, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So, it's very interesting. Krishnadas Kaviraj is on a mission. You can see that in his sentiments. So this verse says, the import of this verse has stopped you from arguing. He is irritated with the arguments that people put forward. He is saying, now stop arguing. In other words, please shut up. Now listen to another verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he is making it even more firm. Ete cham shakala kumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrayatulam rupam bhagavati. So he's quoting the famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which establishes Krishna is the supreme, swayam bhagavan, these famous words. The background here is, before this verse, all the different types of incarnations of Supreme Lord have been discussed. The Purushavatars have been discussed, Ram, etc. So now, this verse says, at the end of it all these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatar. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. In every age, He protects the world through His different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. So there is a distinction here. He is the Supreme. He is the source of all these incarnations. So this verse is very critical for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Jiva Goswami has considered this verse as one of the primary verses in the Bhagavatam, based on which we have to understand the rest of the Bhagavatam. Atta eva chaitanya gosai paratattva sima kitandra mahima. Therefore Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Because he's already said before that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord, source of all incarnations. And therefore, Shri Chaitanya is also the source of all incarnations. So, given that this is the case, if somebody says, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same as Shri Dakshai Vishnu, then that's not exactly glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. But he says, Krishnadas says, it's okay even if you called him that, because they are non-different in a sense. So he goes on to say, all other incarnations are situated in potential form in the original body of the primeval Lord. Thus, according to one's opinion, one may address him as any one of those incarnations. So it's not entirely wrong to say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Shri Dakshai Vishnu. But the correct understanding is that all these incarnations are within his body. They are contained in him. All these incarnations are in potential form, that means they can spring forth any time if Krishna so desires. Some say that Shri Krishna is directly Naranarayan, so he's giving examples. Others say that he's Vamanadeva. So that's okay, fine. But he says, let me give you the conclusion. I offer my obeisances under the feet of all who hear or read this discourse. Kindly hear with attention the conclusion of all these statements. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial. For such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Shri Krishna. Somebody might say, why do you want to discuss this and keep arguing? You know, let's call him Shri Dakshai Vishnu. Somebody wants to call him Narayan. Let them call. What's the problem? Why do you have to keep belaboring the point? So he's saying, no, we shouldn't. There must be a conclusion. If there is no conclusion, then that means that we are avoiding the subject. And that reduces our attachment to Krishna because we're not strong enough in our understanding. So this is the point. So
something to meditate on, that Nishinganda Brahmachari in Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Nishinganda Brahmachari is a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was meditating on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, visiting all the way to Kanai Nath Sala, he made a beautiful path. And then at the end of his meditation, he revealed everything, and it actually came true. His meditation was so perfect. And then later on he offered bhoga to three deities, Jagannath, Nisimhadev and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he witnessed himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate his prasadam, bhoga, and he also ate Jagannath, and then he started eating Nisimhadev's. So then he immediately opened his eyes. He said, Prabhu, you cannot do this. You and Jagannath are same, so you can take prasadam of Jagannath, but you cannot take Nisimhadev's. Now I have to cook again. So what should we understand from this, according to this? Yeah? No difference. But according to the mood of Nisimhananda, he has a deep attachment to Nisimhadev. Anything Nisimhadev is particular deity. It's not that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is less than Nisimhadev, but he's not the same person according to him. Because he is eternally, constitutionally positioned, and is no harm to see that. So, Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice point, like when we see any deity of Vishnu incarnation, when we have our sthayi bhava or permanently established to a particular form of the Lord, then we see that form in every Vishnu incarnation. So if I am a Nisinga Bhakta, then I will see Radha Shyamsundara and I will say, oh, Nisingadev, you came in Krishna form. It's no harm. But Mahaprabhu makes a point very clear that to Venkata Bhatta, in his entire dialogue, very sweet dialogue, that Venkata Bhatta, what Prabhu was explaining, Venkata Bhatta was trying to escape from. He said, there is no difference between Narayan and Krishna. We should not see. Siddhantastu abhedapi. Abhed. There is non-difference. We should not see. Then it's an offense to think that Vishnu incarnation, there is difference. But then Mahaprabhu did not give up the argument. He said, if they are same, then why she didn't give up her meditation and come back to her husband? She is still meditating for Krishna. Mahaprabhu was kind of like a trying to make a point very clear that every Vaishnava must understand this. With Anupam, with Murari Gupta, you can see the same thread, same understanding going. That yes, you can have Ishtadev, but you still have to understand that Krishna is the origin of all incarnation. And he gave this on the base of this. The Siddhantastu Abhedapi Srisha Krishna Sarupayo Rasana Utkrishate Esha Krishna Rupam Rasasthiti. That all the rasa, all the transcendental mellow cannot be released in exchange with every incarnation. You cannot imagine Radharani is dancing with Varaha Deva or something like that. But in Krishna Rupam, Krishna form, you can see all the rasas, 12 rasas fully released. This is the only incarnation. That's why from that angle, there are a few reasons, but there's the one angle why Krishna's existence is 100% the origin form of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very important. So then in Venkata Bhatta's case, Mahaprabhu literally he made him slowly progress to understand that. Then at one point he says, Venkata Bhatta says, just like a person, just like a chaste lady, see in a play, her husband in a different role he's playing. And she is very fond of liking that role form of her husband. But generally, after the play is over, the husband will come back to his original form, not the role form. So when Venkata Bhatta said like this, then Mahaprabhu says, then why did she just come back? So he could not actually pursue further. He got defeated. Mahaprabhu says, Lakshmi Devi is still meditating. That means you have to understand that actually Narayan comes from Krishna, not that Krishna comes from Narayan. Generally, this confusion not in the West, but among the Hindus are very big deal. You may not give importance in the Western world you took birth in, but in India it's a big deal, very big deal. They will not just take it. You say Krishna is the origin of Narayan. No, no, no.
Anecdote, anecdote. Let me first pick the microphone. So, anecdote is, I wrote something about Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, and I sent it to a friend, he's a Sri Vaishnava. And he, you know, he's a good friend, he's a professor also, Indian Institute of Sciences, the famous institute in Bangalore. But he's a practicing Sri Vaishnava, grew up like that. And he said, well, you know, you have the, entirely the wrong understanding of everything.
He said that? On what did he?
Well, he read the, so I wrote a book on the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm trying to publish. This is based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. So in that, you know, he said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the supreme and that Narayan is his expansion. So,
you know, we have to pray to Prabhupada to empower us, and we are convinced already by the mercy of Prabhupada. But Prabhupada sometimes writes something very, I mean, to me it was like very surprising that how much he is Krishna Bhakta, how much he is actually Brajabasi mood. Prabhupada says, the so-called God, like Narayan, also attracted by Krishna. So-called God of Narayan. Only Brajabasi talks like this. Now, we are not being fanatic. It's a practically proven that this verse, that 12 rasa, is experienced with who? Who? When? How? Only with Krishna. Even Prabhupada goes so far that only in Prabhupada's commentary, like a really certain things are very hammered, like a very, with the, what he calls, big sledgehammer or something like that. Prabhupada really nailed it down. Even a simple thing, he says, Parashuram is considered, accepted by Vishnu incarnation by everybody. All Vaishnava Sampradaya, Prabhupada goes like this. And he says, but when he saw Ram, he challenged. But when he saw Krishna, he bowed down. That's like a simple thing, like if you really think. Okay, do you believe Parashuram as the supreme? Vishnu also? Yes. So see what is his function. With the Ram, he challenged. But with Krishna, he bowed down. It's like a logic. Logic. Mahaprabhu gave the logic too. Like when in South India, Mahaprabhu's tour on the Kaveri River side, he was going and the Shoibites, they all attacked him. Not in a wrong way, but they said that we are Shiva followers and Shiva is also supreme according to Shiva Purana. You cannot say no. So Mahaprabhu did not argue or anything. He said, when somebody respects a personality, how do we see it? Let's see the features of Shiva. Shiva holds Ganges where? So they say on the head. So where this Ganges comes from? Comes from the Vishnu's feet. So the case is dismissed. Mahaprabhu gave a simple logic. So Prabhupada gave a simple logic. Because Sri Sampradaya, they do accept Parashuram as the incarnation of him. So Prabhupada put that logic. Parashuram bowed down to Krishna, but with Ram he challenged. So why are you saying Krishna, Ram is like a superior or Narayan is superior? But anyway, this will go on. This is a flavor.
Yes. Use the microphone, please.
It's not exactly on topic, but it's related to what you just mentioned about Lakshmi Devi still performing austerities and meditating, trying to enter Braj. So, but we also hear, Pru, you've explained that Jar Jai Rase Sarva Uttama Tatashtahan Vicharile Ache Tarutama, that Lakshmi Devi, she must be fully satisfied in her position as the wife of Narayan and in that Ras. Then how she is engaging in austerity like this, it indicates that, does it indicate that she is feeling some dissatisfaction in her original position and wants something different?
According to what we understand, that say Gopir Dare Lakshmi Kare Krishna Sukhasana. So if she comes to the point of accepting the gopi's subordination, then she can relish. That has to come from her. Otherwise, it's not that their eternal position is changed. It's not changed. But they want the intensity of the gopis loving Krishna. Intensity. Intensity is very difficult to understand. The words that you quoted, Jarjai Rasse Sarvatama Tatasaya Vicharila Achetaratama, that verse is for one who is not participating, who is a spectator. Not participating. From a spectator point, yes, gopi's love is higher than Mother Yashoda's. But from a participating point, Mother Yashoda will never think of becoming a gopi of Krishna. Because also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that all the rasas are assisting to the madhur rasa, singha rasa. All the rasas, whether it's the dasya rasa or sakya rasa, they are actually making the madhur rasa more tasty. And if those rasas were not there, madhur rasa would not be complete. Like Krishna is most beautiful, but he looks more beautiful when he's surrounded by gopis. So like that. All the rasas actually promoting madhur rasa is the highest. Yeah. She is there on that basis. That Krishna, I mean, there is a whole story about it. I don't want to go, but I'll just say one word. That yes, Lakshmi Devi is always there. Jasraste Hridaya Sambit. Bagisha Jasya Vadene Lakshmi Jasya Bakshasi. Lakshmi. But still, the Krishna also. Well, you can see in the Gopi Geet. Sayata Indira Sasrata Prahi. There is Indira, is Lakshmi. Mahalakshmi is there. So she is there on the chest. So in that case, Lakshmi had a one contrast that if there is nobody there to serve, then she can come out and serve. And until today, they haven't taken place. So you think in future will take place? That no more Brajavasi will be there when Krishna alone, then Lakshmi can come out and serve? I doubt. So it never took place.
I think this concept of Lakshmi meditating for so many still meditating. Uddhava also has this prayer, let me become, a creeper in Vrindavan so I can get the dust. But it's a sentiment more than. Yeah, the intensity definitely, but in terms of Uddhava doesn't want to stop being Uddhava and become a creeper. Doesn't want, but you could think of it as a sattvic, as a vyabhichari bhav of a sort, that it comes and goes, it's an emotion that comes.
I'm wondering why there are exceptions like Lakshmi and Uddhav, because there are other examples of Hanuman rejecting outright the idea of worshipping anyone else besides Ram,
but
and
still Hanuman,
Krishna is also Ram.
But in the Brihad Bhagavatam, they are still able to appreciate the devotion of others. So there is definitely an appreciation for devotion of others and for considering it great. And then in the Shastras, the Taratamya, the hierarchy is shown by saying even Lakshmi could not get this. Like Nayam Shri Yom Onipayanga Rapyata Sada, famous words that the gopis got, Krishna's arms around them, but Lakshmi couldn't get that. So there is Alankar here, and there is also the Vyabhichari Bhavas. So they're not the permanent emotions, but they are expressions of ecstasy, seeing the superior devotion of others. But that's how I see it. Because otherwise there's a whole can of worms. She is unsatisfied with Narayan, what is she doing meditating, trying? I mean, it becomes like a...
When Hanumanji came to Dwarka, Krishna himself took the form of Ram. So, sometimes Hanuman also wanted to test, but the Lord Krishna, knowing that Hanuman will not be reciprocating in a actually ultimate closeness with him unless he takes the form of Ram. So Krishna did not stay as Krishna. He took the form of Ram. He even asked Rukmini Devi, can you become Sita? She said, no. Ask Satyabhama, can you become Sita? Then she became Sita. So it's kind of like it's very tasty. If you really think like it's ultimately it's just a nourishment. For the nourishment is sake, it's happening. And even Garuda, anyway, that's the whole story goes, is very relishment. The whole idea is very
so to conclude then, Advaityan, Krishna is Ram, Krishna is Narayan. So because otherwise there's no meaning to one non-divided absolute truth. There's only one person. He's appearing in different forms. And that's Krishna's opulence. He can do that. One person is appearing as different people. Obviously, it's irritating. The thing is, you know, like an actor, but an actor has to put on costumes and change costumes, but he doesn't change. But Krishna can change completely. And eternally. So he can be Vaman, he can be Ram. Well, he's the same person. So actually there is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which explained that it is an offense to think of these as different.
Yes,
it is an offense also. So we have to be a little careful. Anyway, so let's continue. Just to enunciate the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have tried to describe the glories of Sri Krishna in detail. The conclusion, so here's the conclusion. The conclusion is that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of the King of Vraja. Chaitanya Gosaira Eitatva Nirupana Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Vrajendra Nandana. Let there be no confusion about this. That's Krishna Das Kaviraj's.
But there's one thing that we should remember, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Gaur made in Anuvasya. You don't worship Lord Chaitanya as Krishna of Brajananandan. He is eternally, but as per our relationship, he is not Krishna in a sense that he is going to act as a debauchee hero, Naga. That we have to be very careful. It's a very subtle thing. And those who accept him like that and they act the role like some of the followers, they are also Vaishnava, but they are actually cut out from the Mahaprabhu's line. Just a little touch, because once in a while you see here they are pups, that things. The Gaur Nagari you do not accept. These are called Gaur Nagari.
Okay, so the last verse of every chapter ends with this prayer. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Padayar Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps. So now we'll go to the next lecture. Next PowerPoint. I'm splitting these up by themes so that we don't get too confused in terms of
jumping.
All together.
So, just a quick thing. Please feel free to ask questions, as many questions as possible. I feel like the audience is not. We have a lot of people today, so let's take advantage and ask questions.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Go on.
Together. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Bande, Yatrasraya Bijata, Dandinati Akara Vaila.
I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the potency of the shelter of his lotus feet, even a fool can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth from the minds of the revealed scriptures. Every chapter, this is a new chapter, the Adi Lila 3, every chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita typically has an original prayer from Krishna Das Kaviraj, written in Sanskrit. And this one actually speaks to me directly, because this is true. I'm a believer in the truthness of this verse. Chaitanya Charitamrita presents the condensed, even though it's a big book, the condensed truth from different scriptures, from different places, in a self-consistent way to give us a conclusion. And that I love. You know, you don't have to read so many different books, although I do read other books, so I'm reading the Sandarbhas systematically, and I find that all the conclusions in the Sandarbhas are here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes.
Isn't it? I mean, you know, Krishnadas must have read them, I guess, or not, I don't know, but he's got the truths like jewels everywhere. And the Bhagavatam becomes clear, the meaning of the Bhagavatam, the key verses that we should know in the Bhagavatam become clear, the key verses in the Bhagavad Gita become clear. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is really, this is true, even a fool, which I am because I haven't studied all the scriptures, can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth. This is so important. From the minds of the revealed scriptures. Maybe somebody's done a census, maybe at the end of the book, of all the different scriptures that have been cited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You must have. Tritiya Shokera Artha. Yes, question?
No.
Kaila Vivarana Chaturtha Shlokera Artha Shuna Bhakta Gana. So, if you remember, there were 14 verses in the first chapter that laid out Krishnadas Kaviraj's prayers to the different tattvas, the Pancha Tattvas, one by one.
What are the
thoughts of? You tell me, I don't
know. The thoughts of verse we finish. The Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Jat Advaita Brahma Purushadita Dupayashakanava. Jat Nanta Jani Purusha Sahasang Suri Guru. Saravishadja Purna Bhagavan Jasayamayam. Na Chaitanya Krishna Jagati Paratatta Paramatma.
That's
the third one. That's the third. Now is the fourth one. And that one is? Since long time,
first time
Hari Puratus, where is it? Anas,
first chapter,
fourth slope. Anarpita Charinchira.
I mean the Lord who is known as the son of Shiva.
Yeah, but read that together. Anarpita Charinchira Kurunayavati Napalo. Samarpayitam Unnata Ujjala Rasa Sabhaktisiyam. Hari Purata Sundara Dhuti Kadamba Sandhita. Sadai Dai Kandaris Puratu Sachinanda. Translation.
May that Lord who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant spiritual knowledge of the mellow taste of his service.
So I have a question to the audience. When we'll go through those verses, see if you can pick that what Mahaprabhu came to give a particular special mellow that no incarnation ever gave. You have to pick end of the class you can tell. Or you can tell whenever you find
it. I think it's probably going to be explicitly explained. Well, we'll see. Oh, here's the verse. Sorry.
This
verse is from the Vidagdha Madhav. It's actually a composition of Rupa Goswami.
From
different books. Anarpita charin chirat karunayavati lahakalo samarpaita munnato jvala dasam swabhakti shriyam hari parata sundara dhuti kadamba sandhita sadarga kandare suratu vaha shachin. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow or devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So, sorry, probably the answer is out.
What is the answer?
What's the question?
Oh, no. It's how Radha feels about Krishna.
Conjugal love.
Do you see Unnata Ujjala? That word? Unnata, second line. Unnata Ujjala Rasam. So what is it? It's Sabhakti Sriyam. His own. Krishna and Radha are one. And this is actually Radharani's bhakti towards Krishna. It's a very hidden secret. Unnata Ujjala Rasa. We sing sometime in the temple, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Moha. In that song, you'll see, there's a couple lines. Jaya Jaya Ujjala Rasa, Sarva Rasa Saar, Parakiya Bhave Jaha, Brajete Pracha. Jaya Jaya Ujjala Rasa. Amongst all transcendental mellow, the one mellow summit of all is Parokya, amorous. This Parokya has a two conceptions. One is Upabodhi Bhav from the gopi side, and the Krishna side, he acts as a Parokya or Upapati. Like generally nobody practices this, but this is the highest form there. So Srila Prabhupada says, very interesting point. He says, that personality who can accommodate what is moral, what is immoral, to the highest harmonious way, he is the supreme. Now Lord Ramchandra could not do immoral. It's a fact. And if you look at all the incarnations, we are not trying to put any incarnation down, but just to understand Krishna's point. Krishna is the Lakshmipati, he is the possessor of all unlimited opulence. At the same time, he is also a thief. He is the king of the thief. Generally, thief means he needs, he doesn't have. A common understanding in the world. Thief means one who does not have enough. He is always stealing. So Krishna is the Braje Prasiddham Navanita Chouram. Braje Prasiddham, he is known as the king of thief. The king of the thief is also Dukulo Churam. Yes, the whole verse is there, that what is the expert of stealing. I mean, if you hear this. And Bilamangal Thakur is bowing down, is paying obeisances to that king of thief. And Bilamangal Thakur's own confession, he says, he forced me to become his slave. How is that?
How does this little boy, this little who steals butter, he's tricked me into being his slave.
Slave.
So, yeah.
Slave. Because this is a very hidden, confidential topic. Prabhupada gave actually everything, but we have to discuss more about it. Because sometimes we don't understand these high topics. So we have to bring it down to our some way to grasp it. That Bilamangal Thakur had a whole journey, you know, we're not going to narrate this. But the whole journey, when it ended, and he was expressing his journey to this boy who helped him to come to Vrindavan. That was very sweet. That he would talk about Krishna to that boy, and that boy would talk to him about Krishna. And when that boy would tell about the pastime of Krishna, he was so attracted. He fell in love with Krishna's pastimes through that boy. But after a while he noticed that if boy didn't come for a day or two, he would be disturbed. And his meditation, absorption to Krishna would be disturbed by that boy because he didn't show up. And then he was regretting, is it something that I came all the way, I gave up everything, even I gave up my eyes, I gave up everything in life to get Krishna. But now I am falling in love with this boy who talk about Krishna, more than Krishna. And he literally started crying and appealing, "Oh Krishna, please deliver me, help me. I'm started falling in love with this boy who is so nice, so loving. He talks about you, it's like I never heard from anybody. He's so sweet." At the end, of course, he found in a trance that boy is Krishna. So then he was completely thrilled. So then he asked for Krishna. There's a whole pastime that how Radha and Krishna came. And Krishna told Radharani not to come so close, because even though he's blind materially, but spiritually he's very fully aware. He will grab your lotus feet, he won't let you go. So Radharani was very compassionate. She's so much compassionate. She said, "Oh, come on, Krishna, don't be so silly. Let him, he came all the way here, he gave up everything. We should give him mercy." And she just went on so close, he grabbed her feet. So that time Krishna knew that this will happen. So then of course Krishna asked, "What do you want?" He says, "I would like to open my eyes to have a pure vision of you, this divine couple, and then close my eye that I never have to see any other vision. With that vision, I will express my feeling." And Radha and Krishna did that. And then after that, when he saw the beauty of this couple, then he himself proposed to become a slave of that devotion. Slave means you can do whatever you want. I will never give up the lotus feet of your body. That is the highest form. In the material world, we see that we want to sacrifice for something, somebody. It's like what? Because of that, originally it's also within us. We want to 100% surrender to the divine couple. Our worship is not to the lotus feet only, to Krishna. Our object of worship is actually Radha Krishna together. This is Svabhakti Sriyam. Svabhakti Sriyam does not mean Krishna alone or Radharani alone. We are not worshipper of Krishna or Radharani alone. We are worshipper of Radha Krishna together. That's why Prabhupada promote Narottam Das Thakur's songs as good as Shastra. And Narottam Das Thakur wrote many songs. And the famous songs are Gatiya Malati Mala Diva Dohar Gole, that I will make a garland, I'll give this, but always together, Radha Krishna together, Radha Krishna together. Those who worship Radha Krishna together in Vrindavan, who worship? Mother Yashoda, Brajavasi, Brahmanas, coward boys? Nobody. In Vrindavan, nobody except only one selected group. Not even all the gopis. Selected group called Svapaksha, the Radharani's group. They are the nectar devotion explained. The six types of gopis. The Pranasakhi and Priyasakhi. These are the Manjaris. And Rupa Goswami is the head of it. That's why Srila Prabhupada says, Rupa, that our Krishna consciousness movement is directly under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. This is very secret. And this is what Svabhakti Sriyam ultimately indicates. When you see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sagar's commentary on these verses, so many places, you come to the same conclusion. Unnata ujjala rasam, that no other rasa or transcendental mellow as high as this. What is this Svabhakti Sriyam? That those, the mood of the manjaris, the way they serve the Radhakrishna. I'm going to give you one little highest secret antidote. In Ujjal Nilamani, we don't read so much because it's very high subject matter, but we should grasp something. That when you worship Radha Krishna together, like all the Ishkan temple, you see Radha Krishna worship very nicely. Very nicely. And Mahaprabhu also worshipped in Ishkan, not as a sannyasi, as a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. Not anywhere else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where? In Navadvip. He has a grihastha form. You will see all the Mahaprabhu's Nitai go, no sannyas form. It's very confidential because that Ananta Sangita, the four Kumaras, they write, and Rupa Goswami Pad wrote this song, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dhrite. They say, Sanata Sanatana Varnita Charite. You know, what Sanatana Goswami, what the four Kumaras can give to Rupa Goswami? Rupa Goswami is so elevated. But four Kumaras are like a spectator in Vrindavan, as a bee or bumblebee, in the war, someone take a photo and description, but they're not participating. But they literally wrote it down confidentially. In that one chapter, you'll see, it says that Vishwabhanu Nandini, Vyogini Radha, Vishwabhanu Nandini Radha, and Samjogini Radha. There's a three, Srimati Radharani has a three features. And Vyogini Radha is what Mahaprabhu had relished in Ratha Jatra. Samjogini Radha, in Kurukshetra Union, this happened. After Sudur Pravas, long separation, this thing. But the highest form of Radharani is Vrishabhanu Nandini Radha. That form united with Krishna in Navadvip. That's why Mahaprabhu's Grihastha form that Prabhupada established. It's the highest form of Mahaprabhu. All forms of Mahaprabhu are equal, but still, the Sachimata's son in Navadvip, that Mahaprabhu's form very high. Is extremely high. It is higher than any other gold form, gold, Narayan, or any other form can give. That's why our worship, our actually process of worship and object of worship is extremely highest. There is no higher than that. Paratattva paramiha. There is no higher truth than that. So we should be like pursue about it and be happy and very completely happy, satisfied that this is something Prabhupada gave, is unbelievable. The Svabhakti Sriyam is actually propagated by Mahaprabhu. When Rupa Goswami Pad wrote this sloka, Mahaprabhu did not like this. This sloka, when he wrote, he didn't like it. Because the third, fourth line, when Mahaprabhu read this, he took that paper, in a paper, and he read it. He said, they read the Sadari Daya Kandaris Purato Basachi Nandana. Mahaprabhu didn't like it. He said, no, this is not Prabhupada. But then Sarva Damodar says, Prabhu, you already revealed through Rupa Goswami Pad what is your purpose. Then Mahaprabhu accepted, but he was a little shy. Because he didn't want to. And if you say, then how come we are thriving in it? Because Prabhupada wanted to give us the highest, in a sense that even Nityananda Prabhu, he is considered like a shadow of Mahaprabhu. Means, whatever Mahaprabhu wanted, Nityananda Prabhu followed. Exactly. Nityananda Prabhu never disobeyed Mahaprabhu. Except one time. For that one time, we are eternally indebted to Nityananda Prabhu. What was that one time? He says, Suna suna Nityananda suna haridas sarvatra amaragya paro prakas. Poti ghare ghare jiya karo I viksha bhraja krishna bhala krishna karo krishna shiksha. These are Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, please go and tell everybody to talk about Krishna, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went outside, and then after a while Nityananda Prabhu realized, what is the purpose of doing this? It is not that living entity wants Krishna friend. They are not looking for it. It is only, not even Krishna, but it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who actually has a very deep affectionate love for conditioned soul in this Kali Yuga. Raganuga Bhakti, Ragamar Bhakti, this Braja Bhakti, he wants to establish and he wants to drown everybody to the highest achievement for living entity you can ever get. And so it was Mahaprabhu's interest, Nityananda Prabhu understood. So he changed it. He changed the instruction of Mahaprabhu. And that's why it's a big deal. You can see Loknath Maharaj's dialogue with Prabhupada on this, on a morning walk. It's the same topic. Prabhupada said, yes, we should chant Panchatattva. Then Loknath Maharaj said, then why you told us to chant 60 now? We should just chant Panchatattva name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Then Prabhupada stopped and then he said, yes, we chant Panchatattva mantra to get their mercy. When we have their mercy, then we follow what they want us to follow. Mahaprabhu wants us to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, so we will follow Panchatattva, then by their mercy we will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare. It's the same subject matter, but it's very confidential actually. We take mercy of Prabhupada, by his mercy we get Mahaprabhu's mercy. Prabhupada's mercy means Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Then we get Mahaprabhu's mercy, and then by Mahaprabhu's mercy we get Radha Krishna. No other way. Don't try any other process. Don't go to Radha Krishna's imitation, some gopis or others. It will take for long, 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 far away. We should just follow this path, simple. Follow Prabhupada, then Mahaprabhu, then Radha Krishna. This is simple. And I can tell you many, now I remember the reference, how our Acharya actually made this point very clear. If we don't follow that way, we'll miss the highest benediction. Sabhaktisyam, unnato ujjala rasa sabhaktisyam. Every Acharya gave commentary on this verse. I'm sorry, I went off.
I didn't get your point. You said that Nityananda Prabhu didn't obey Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
On that point, that Nityananda Prabhu changed it. Thank you. Nityananda Prabhu changed it. I'm going to say, from next day, when he went out on Sankirtan, he didn't tell people to chant Krishna's name. He says, Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Taha Gaurangere Namre, Jejana Gauranga Bhaje, Sehaya Mantranere. My voice broke and it sounds like a frog. So, from next day, Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu did not tell people to chant Krishna's name. Nityananda Prabhu told them, you should chant Mahaprabhu's name. Then when you get in love with Mahaprabhu, where is the evidence? There's the verse in Chaitanya Bhagavata. He says, Amapati Sneha Jodi Thake Sabakar. Mahaprabhu himself said this. That when you develop little affection, respect for me, Mahaprabhu says, Amapati Sneha Jodi Thake Sabakar, Krishna Boi Navaliva Navalaiva. When you develop little respect to me, Mahaprabhu says, then you chant Krishna's name. He could have said just chant Krishna's name. He did say before, but he changed it after Nityananda Prabhu did. So that was very sweet. That was Nityananda Prabhu's mercy.
You said the word
little
then? Little.
You
said
you
develop little respect.
Little respect.
Is that the word there in the
verse? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, even little respect to Mahaprabhu, then immediately you can chant Krishna's name. But if you don't have a respect to Mahaprabhu, little bit, then the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will not give you the highest unnato ujjala rasa sabhaktisya. So nowadays everybody is chanting Hare Krishna, even my words, but they all get this, not possible.
Thank you for that. 3.5. So let's see, what's the background here? We are trying to explain the fourth shloka, which was this one, Anarpita Charim Shirat. And so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is going to continue his exposition on this fourth verse. Lord Krishna, the Purna Bhagavan, Krishna Vajendra Kumar, Goloka Vajendra Sahanitya Vihar. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Raja, is the supreme lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastimes in his eternal abode, Goloka, which includes Vrajadham. Once in a day of Brahma, he descends to this world to manifest his transcendental pastimes. What's going on here is that first Krishnadas Kaviraj will explain why Krishna, how Krishna came and what he did when he came. And then he'll explain the chain of thought that led to his coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the idea. The same way that he established that Krishna is the Supreme, the logic is the same. Krishna is the Supreme, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna, so Mahaprabhu is the Supreme. In the same way he'll continue with this logic. Once in a day of Brahma, he descends to this world, Krishna descends to this world to manifest his transcendental pastimes. And now there is some some information, not so much logic, but just information. We know that there are four ages, Satya, Trita, Dwapara and Kali. These four together constitute one Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas constitute one Manvantar. 14 Manvantars are present in one day of Brahma. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, of the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Brajadham. Dasya Sakhya Vatsalya Shringara Chari Rasa Chari Bhavera Bhakta Yata Krishna Taravasha. So when Krishna does come, then he displays these things: servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. The four transcendental mellows are displayed in Krishna's pastimes, as we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Question? Can you give him the microphone, please? Or comment?
It's hard for me to understand why Lord Chaitanya, or why Krishna only comes once in the day of Brahma, because he can expand himself anytime he wants. And, you know, the souls are suffering all that time, billions of years. Why would he only come once?
Well, I understand from Devadharma that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains Krishna, it seems like Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. But according to the circumstances and conscious development of the jivas, he responds, he reciprocates. Just like end of Kali Yuga, the conditioned soul will become so contaminated, they will not even want to talk about God. They don't even want to argue. They don't want to do anything to do with God. So they become so dull-headed, there is no brain, Prabhupada says. There is no brain substance to understand. So that time he kills them, just kill them. There is nothing. But if you look at in Satya Yuga, they are not interested to understand this Radha Krishna's topic, so elevated subject. Even though it's pure age, but they are not interested. Liberation itself, liberated position is very attractive. So in Treta Yuga, it actually stimulates more. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that when, if you consider a lotus from a budding form, is slowly blooming. And the four Acharya came, it's like a slowly the petals started opening. And then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, it's like a blossom completely. So it's a gradual progression. I mean, we were there in other ages also in that sense.
But why not come in
every Kali Yuga?
Why only once in the day of Brahma? So why does it come? There's so many Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma.
But they're not ready.
In what way? Are we special in some way? Yes.
Yes, we are. We are special because we are coming to a point where we are open to that conception of intimacy with the Lord.
How do you know the other ages?
No, the other ages they are not.
I mean in other Kali Yugas.
No.
How do you know?
Why not? You have to ask the jiva.
I'm asking you.
You have to ask the jiva at that time.
Okay, so do the other incarnations come every Divya Yuga? Does Varaha come every Dwapara Yuga?
Yes.
So Krishna is the only one who comes once in a day of Brahma?
Krishna comes, but not the Swayam Bhagavan.
How does he come?
Gautamiya Tantra explains this. Gautamiya Tantra says that every Dwapara Yuga Krishna comes, but not the Swayam Bhagavan. His expansion, Swayam Prakash. Yeah, expansion.
But this Krishna that comes, he's not an expansion?
No.
So he leaves the spiritual world?
He leaves spiritual world.
So he's not in the spiritual world. What are all the gopis doing when he comes in?
T5, you see here it says, Lord Krishna is the son of King of Braja, is the Supreme Lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastime in his abode, Golok, which includes Braja. So he never actually left Golok Vrindavan. There's a mystery. He never left Golok. I mean, Vrindavan is like expansion of Golok. Then it closes. Kind of like that. It's a very good translation, Prabhupada did perfect. I thought about that. Goloke Braje Sahanitavya.
So are there any other verses that actually state categorically about Krishna just coming once in a day of Brahma?
You mean this part? Yes.
No, I'm saying are there other verses?
Gautamiya Tantra, yes.
Yes.
Bhavishya Purana, Gautamiya Tantra, many books explain that.
When you asked the question, my instinctive response was, it's like asking why is Krishna blue or black, whatever your choice.
Yeah, that's not a real answer.
There's no answer to this, because he's Swayam Bhagavan, he's independent, he's Swaraj. So he does
think... He's just trying to make us feel special, so that we take it seriously.
I don't think that we are any special. It doesn't make any sense to say we are specially fallen compared to some others, because when I see my situation, there's nothing special about me. So...
He's trying to make us feel special.
It is something that we cannot speak to. Unless it's in Shastra, we can't really answer that question. It isn't in Shastra. So all we can say is, Krishna wills it that way, and that's the way it is. We can't really answer this. Unless there's something in Shastra that explicitly says this.
You can extend it further and say, why
is it? Use the microphone.
You can extend it further and say, why isn't Krishna always present on this planet, so everyone always has unlimited opportunity.
You
can extend it. So, yeah.
See, this logic that if you say it's causeless, if you say causeless mercy, this Kali Yuga, you cannot literally say causeless also, because Prabhupada in one lecture he said causeless also has a cause. Because Krishna desired. So Krishna was the cause. We say sarva karana karana. So because if you say causeless, then everybody is equally should be right now devotee. Because the definition of causeless, if you
give cause, I think causeless just means that like he doesn't have to give you mercy, but he does. But that actually makes a cause.
But that
there's a cause for that.
But that makes everybody easily right now can.
Enter. Well, no, because like in another. Kali, Krishna might not come because it wasn't like the right, you know, like how it was this time. Like the hippies, Prabhupada came over. Like if that wasn't happening in America at that time, this wouldn't have happened, I don't think. Like it was perfect. It was almost too perfect.
So it is causeless at the same time there is a cause.
It's a causeless to make the cause happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hari Bol.
She has a question.
I still wouldn't get clear about in every Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes, but his expansion come, not Swayam Bhagwan Krishna comes.
Correct.
So this Dwapar Yuga, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this Kali Yuga, so this Dwapar Yuga, Krishna Swayam Bhagwan came.
And Swayam Mahaprabhu also.
In every Kali Yuga also Mahaprabhu comes for his expansion.
Gaur Narayana. It's the expansion of Mahaprabhu, but not... Origin, Vishabhanu Nandini with Krishna together, Mahaprabhu, no. Gaur Narayana is different.
Thank you.
But you know, I suspect that in all the other yugas that Krishna comes in different forms, I don't think the inhabitants are complaining.
No, they don't.
So, you know, point is moot. We are lucky, we have him, and so let's make the best we can. Question, here's a comment.
You know, he's an incarnation of what's his name? One of the Astasakis. But he said, what does it matter if, you know, Lord Nisringadeva appeared? Who cares about Lord Ram? You know, because the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya is so much better, according to him.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think that's interesting. That,
from a transcendental point, you have to agree.
Because he gives the highest thing.
Well, but also because he is a sakhi in that leela, this is the sakhi speaking, you could say. I mean, yes, Prabhupada Saraswati, but he is a specific personage in that Leela, and he has a specific, and he has, oh, one of the eight gopis, Ashtasakh, So, but the point is that he's expressing his eternal sentiment for Krishna. But then, you know, Murari Gupta would say something else, and Hanuman would say something else.
Yeah, but but Hanuman's not on that level, so he's more of an authority.
Yeah, but you know, even if Hanuman knows that Krishna is, or Uddhava knows, or all these people know, still they're perfectly situated in their relationship.
Oh yeah, of course. No, I was reading today, in fact, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how if you worship any form of Krishna, all the different forms of Krishna except that worship. Whether you worship Lord Ram, you know, all the different forms of Krishna except that worship being to them, although it's just one of the forms. Anyway, Hare Krishna.
I mean, it just occurred to me that, you know, we are in this world, anadi, for such a long time that we have cycled through many days of Brahma. So we have had the opportunity to be in the Kali Yuga, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, and to see Krishna in the Dwapar Yuga when he Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So I don't think we, you know, it's not an unfair system, I guess, is what I'm saying. People who take advantage of the different times when different Lord incarnations come, they get the benefit. You know, but we have stayed for too long, and for too many days of Brahma. We have seen too many Kali Yugas and too many Dwapar Yugas where these personalities come, pass by. And so now we have we are waiting? No, I'm sorry. Prabhupada would say we are just being rascals. But the point is, now we have the opportunity. But does that make sense? I mean, for us it seems like a very long time, but from Krishna's point of view, and from the point of view of eternity, it's a drop in time. So we have probably seen many, many, many Kali Yugas when Krishna came. So the real question is, why we are still here? Rather than, you know, why is this?
You know, we all have our own individual story. And some of us, you know, we may not have been here as long as others. Some of us may have never been in a Kali Yuga before. I've probably been here for many Kali Yugas. But, you know, we don't really know.
Anyway, so let's...
I think the appreciation is very important, that what you are saying, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur made a point that, yes, we were here, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, so many great personalities came, but what happened to me? They came, but did they deliver me? So, he said, to actually understand and realize this, one should start appreciating individual guru. Like, more we appreciate Prabhupada's ultimate compassion for me, particularly for me, then probably by his mercy we'll understand the rest of the reason and cause, where I was before, what happened to me, did I come to many Kali Yuga, did I meet other incarnations. All this can be resolved when we start really appreciating Prabhupada, who has actually done something. I mean, from my own angle, you know, I used to go to Gauriya Math also. I used to go to Ramakrishna Math. There's in Tripura, there's a big lake. There's one side is Gauriya Math, there's a Ramakrishna Math, then the Pranavananda Bharashavasram. So another bogi jogi something, I don't know what it is. Pranavananda, you know. Bharashavasram. They're big in India too. And then you have a Ram Thakur. And you just pay obeisances, I remember with my mother. Like everything, everybody's same, doesn't matter. Whoever you like, you can take, you can choose, you know, like that. Jatam Tatapad. Any path you take, ultimately you'll get. It's all bogus, but didn't make any sense. So, for me, like, Prabhupada created something, like, because from my childhood, like, my brother was in the West, and we were always thinking of the Westernized, go to the West, go to West, go to West. So when the Western taking something, then we started, I mean literally I was giving more importance that why. You know, like it's very hard that why they would take something that we have no interest. And it captured. And then I found out that most of our Indian join at that time, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Subhag Maharaj, Sarvabhavana Prabhu, I go look at all the, they all had the same thing. I thought it was like a me got little, you know, little young, little tiny boy was trying. Oh, they are the same. They said they are interested. Bhakti Charu Maharaj said the same thing. He said, how come the Westerners taking something we have no interest? And then they focused on it. And they said, oh my God, this is actually higher than everything. So it's a kind of like a Prabhupada created. So for me, he's more important for my deliverance. Then if I can appreciate more by his mercy, I'll find out actually that yes, I was here in this universe somewhere, but all this personality came and gone. It's nothing disrespectful or anything, but I was not delivered. I could be in a stool pit, I don't know where I was, but I was not delivered for sure. Was stool pit because nobody looks at stool pit. That's why it's like a dirty place. So that's my point. So more we appreciate Prabhupada by his mercy, I think we'll understand that this is extremely rare Kali Yuga, and we are very fortunate, extremely fortunate those who have come. And we should really bring as many souls as quick as possible. Of course not by force, but as much possible compassionately to bring them and give them that understanding that how fortunate they are. We should take it seriously, that's all. Okay, we go.
Another nice question.
Please stop. So servitude, friendship, parental affection and conjugal love are the four transcendental mellows. By the devotees who cherish these four mellows, Lord Krishna is subdued. Striking is the fact that the fifth mellow is not present here, which is Shantarasa is not present. I looked at Prabhupada's purport on this. Prabhupada says that Shanta is not relevant because the Shanta Bhaktas, they just have kind of the general idea of Krishna's form, but they're not interested in actually acting on that knowledge. They're not interested in the relationship, and Vrindavan is all about relationship. That kind of sums up his purport. So that's why. So Shantarasa, I don't want to get distracted here too much, already, but let me come back to you at the end of the class and we'll talk more about it. Yeah, but that's just a long topic, side topic that I don't want to get into. But I thought, well, let's talk at the end. So, Yatheshta Vihari Krishna Kare Antardhana, Antardhana Kari Mane Kare Anuman. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus. So this is now building the foundation for Mahaprabhu's appearance in the following yuga.
This is a very important point though. Right now we are coming to a point for how the world actually think of God and why Hare Krishnas are actually distinctly superior in a sense. We are not trying to put others down, but distinctly why Mahaprabhu's this Krishna consciousness conception differ from any other religion idea or religion thought. And this is Krishna's own opinion.
We'll see now. Let's be so sweet.
For a long time, so that means 28.
That's a long time.
Divya Yugas. For a long time, I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. That's Prabhupada's translation of the avasthana word. Useless. 3.15 Sakala jagate more kare vidhi bhakti vidhi bhakti vraja bhava nayutna hi sakti. So, Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions, which is Vidhi Bhakti. This is discussed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There are two types of bhakti. There is the Vidhi Bhakti, the Vaidhi Bhakti, and Raga Nuga Bhakti. So everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. Vidhi Bhakti Vraja Bhave Paite Nahi Shakti. It just doesn't have the power, the potency to give us Vrajadham if we just only do Vidhi Bhakti. Aishwarya Nyanete Sabha Jagata Mishrita Aishwarya Shikhi Latrene Nahi Mora Prita. No, so this Vidhi Bhakti has this element of Aishwarya Jnana, which means opulence. Knowing my opulences, Aishwarya Jnana, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. So this word is Aishwarya Shithila Preme. Shithila, Prabhupada translates as feeble. It does not attract me, he says.
Is weak.
Feeble, weak.
Very weak, does not. Like a simple example, that when Lord Ram told to Hanuman, seeing that all the monkeys started eating, but they didn't make a special plate for Hanuman. So Lord Ram called Hanuman, please sit down with me, let's honor the prasada. So he told Hanuman, please sit next to me, across from me. Hanumanji was like, what to talk about honoring prasada, he's already uncomfortable to sit. This is like a fever, you follow? And then Lord Ram said, well, let's have a big plate, and they gave a big banana leaf, and he said, you eat and I eat on the same plate. Hanuman started trembling. You know why? This is called fever. It's very uncomfortable. Neither he is enjoying, nor Ram is enjoying. That's sharing. But Madhu Mangal and Krishna, if you look at now the other side. So Krishna said, now they have also logic. So Krishna said to Madhu Mangal, I'm very thirsty. Somehow my mother gave me the matha, buttermilk, I ran out of it. Give me some of you. So Madhu Mangal says, no, I'm a Brahmana. You know, you cannot take my, you are a Vaishya, we don't share like this. So Krishna says, come on, you give me, otherwise I'll be like thirsty. He said, no. So Madhu Mangal started drinking the whole thing. And he could not take the whole thing, so he's a little chubby boy also, and his cheek is like puffed, and he's holding the whole, like this, and the whole cheek. And Krishna goes there and put it like this and drink it from there. Now Brahmaji got lost, because he's Vidhi Bhakti too. Brahmaji got lost from that. Now he says, God cannot do like this. This is Vidhi Bhakti.
Because I am uncomfortable with this a little bit. Because the word fever should not be used for Hanuman's devotion to Lord Ram. I think we should make a distinction between sadhana bhakti and prema, which has Aishwarya in it. So Hanuman is a prema bhakta. Let me finish. So his devotion is not feeble for Lord Ram. In fact, there's no words to describe the greatness of his devotion. I think the point that's being made here is, Vidhi Bhakti here is referring to, because the word Vidhi is used, it's referring to sadhana bhakti. That means if somebody does sadhana only and purely because of fear of scriptural injunctions, then that bhakti is weak, feeble. It's weak. It doesn't, and therefore it doesn't please Krishna. But yet, if one continues to do that Vaidhi Bhakti, over time, one becomes qualified, one develops prema, but the prema, it's prema, but it's mixed with Aishwarya, and that's the difference.
Well, is that's why I was saying the point.
Okay. I think you mean the word feeble in a different way. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, in this case, you go back. In this case, what happened, that Hanumanji's intimacy that Lord Ram actually wanted to share, he could not relish it. As a result, he had to come again as Krishna where he could share with his devotee on the same plate. On the same plate he could eat as a Krishna, but as a Ram he could not eat on the same plate. So these are also distinction made. Now, when we say Vaidhi Bhakti here, the most important of this Aishwarya Gyan, that most of the people in the beginning stage, they follow Vaidhi Bhakti out of two things. Fear. They literally have a fear. I don't know if you experienced, I also had a fear. I probably still have it. That fear that if I don't chant, I'll go to hell, or if I don't follow Four Noble Principles, or something, some fear. Fear based. The scripture said this, my guru said this, if I don't follow, I'll be like, go to hell, or something like that. There's a fear. Fear based is not good either. Now it is not fully Aishwarya Gyan either, but it is also touching the same point. So that also has to be given up. Not given up in a sense like we avoid, we have to advance more. We have to start falling in love. Like the purpose of the rules regulation is not to follow rules regulation. Purpose of the rules regulation to come close to Krishna. Come close to Krishna and falling in love with Krishna. So rules regulation become a secondary. But in the beginning, rules regulation without the purpose becomes actually a burden. And that is fever.
My question on this was, I guess the awe and veneration, like that, I guess would be like the Narayan in that.
Right, so the supremacy.
The supremacy would be, he enjoys that, but Krishna wants to be more intimate.
Correct. In Vrajadham, Krishna doesn't want to deal with Aishwarya, he's not interested. Okay. So he says that it doesn't attract me.
Only in
Vrajadham. Everywhere else there is always some amount of awe and veneration.
Even Gopkumar felt incomplete in Vaikuntha. Gopkumar, he felt incomplete because end of the day that he wanted to go out with Krishna and, you know, have some good time and talk, but he could not. And he felt very depressed, sad. Everybody supposed to go, leave the room, but no, he's still sitting there. And then Narad Muni had to intervene all of a sudden. They literally called Narad Muni, Narad Muni has to intervene. And then Narad Muni took him, diverted him. So like that, that's also part of the fever.
But my point is that, you know, let's do a thought experiment, then I'll come to your third question. Let's say Hanumanji walked out, just came, visited us. What would we do? We wouldn't think that his devotion is feeble.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay. Answer. Question.
I was just thinking that the Aishwarya, I mean the rules and regulations, they're important to stop from sahajism to begin with. Because someone could say, oh, no need for these, and just, I love Krishna. But in Vrindavan, you experience so many sahajiyas that are already dressing as gopis and yet they're grabbing your hand. And, you know, it's an illusion.
But I think that the suggestion is not that in Raganuga Bhakti there are no rules and regulations. It's quite the opposite. In Raganuga Bhakti also, rules and regulations are followed externally. If you see the description in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the devotee is doing exactly the same thing that a Vaidhi Bhakta would do. So to the extent that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the two externally. But internally, it's completely different. Internally, the Vaidhi Bhakta is doing it because of fear. Whereas the Raganuga Bhakta internally has a meditation, which we'll see later on. So it is, the rules and regulations
transforms.
Yeah.
The love transforms.
Yes.
From just following rules and regulations to actually doing because of love.
Right. But, this is a little technical, but the love also transforms in Vaidhi Bhakti also. Because even in Vaidhi Bhakti, you're going from, you know, all these nine stages. There is asakti, there is rati, ruchi. There are all these stages in Vaidhi Bhakti also. They are two different tracks, almost, like two different roles. at least according to the Bhakti Swami Vishnu. In one road, in the Vaidhi Bhakti, you will never go to Vrajadham, as is explained here. But you can get prema with Vaidhi Bhakti. That means you can go through ruchi, asakti, and then get to bhava and then prema. But what you will get is Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha. Even to go to those abodes, you need prema. You can't go there without prema. Whereas if one wanted to go to Vrajadham, then same stages are there, but the type of bhakti is different. Externally it is the same as Vaidhi, internally it is different. That is my understanding of this. And this will become clear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Sorry.
Now you differentiate that what you said is correct, that in Vaikuntha, and then Mahavaikuntha has this Ayodhya, Dwarka, Mathura. There is a gradation of prema covered by opulence also. So that opulence and then Vaidhi here is not the same thing we are talking. I mean, it is interrelated, but it's not the same thing. So in that sense, it's not the same thing that, yes, all the Vaikuntha bhakta also has love for Lord. But when you talk about Braja prema, it's different than all this. Because their love to Narayan, their impetus to serve Narayan, constitutionally positioned that Narayan is God. It's my duty. Love is there, but the love is not a only guiding them from within. Their duty also guiding them. Like in Vaikuntha, there is a sannyasi, there is a brahmachari. Prabhupada says that Ramanuja Sampradaya, they promote those things. In fifth chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see that Ramanuja Acharya said, in Vaikuntha you have a sannyasi, you have a brahmachari, you have a disciple, guru also like this in Vaikuntha. There are some planets just like that. So they have a one reverence, but there is a love, but that love is not, when you talk about braja love, is completely different. It's a difference. But that love is there, but it's covered by a lot of opulence knowledge of supremacy and there is some love. So like that. But in the beginning we have to follow rules, regulation. But in order to address also your, that actually more we follow this rules regulation, and internally we are developing more attachment. This rules regulation with that internal spontaneous actually build a bridge, and then we cross from Vaidhi to, because Narottam Das Thakur write this. Sadhane bhavive jaha siddhite paive taha. This is one easy way to say. Then he says, sadhan bhakti ratna dane, vidhi bhakti ratna dane, sadhinata rata jane, raga marge karena pravesh. Narottam Das Thakur write like this. That internally, yes, we are developing a particular relationship with the Lord, but externally the rules regulation has to follow. That's why we see Prabhupada says even Mahabhagavat, when he comes to preach, he has to have a kantimala and sika and all of that, even though he doesn't need it. He says, vidhi bhakti rata jane, that one who is following the rules regulation, he is very attentive. Ratam is very attentive and very devoted to that. Sadhinata ratna dane. But his internal mood actually will promote him to combine both together. And this way he will actually enter into the spontaneous loving service. Because otherwise spontaneous loving service, if somebody is developing and he doesn't have to follow anything, that is disturbance in the society. What is that? Smartabha satusha. No. Suti smriti puranadi pancharatri vidhim vina. Vaikanti ki harer bhakti utpata. Utpata. Simply disturbance. Even Mahabhagavat, when they come to preach, they have to follow rules, regulation. Mahaprabhu chanted. So six Goswami chanted. Prabhupada put that point. What is that? katha gahanam naktam na. Krishna kirtana gana natana paro. The similar verse was that they counted japamala, japa beats every day. Sankha purvaka nama gana natibhi kala vasani kito nidrahara vihara kadi pujito chaitanta dina chajo bande radha krishna. So in that verse it says that they every day they counted their beats. Mahaprabhu counted beats. Even Supreme Lord, he counted how many rounds he chants. Every Goswami they counted. Srinivasacharya expressed this, that every Goswami they counted how many rounds. So we have to, even if we are advanced, we still have to maintain a particular rounds chanting. And it's visible, not hiding it.
What's the time of it?
You know why we are 60. Thank you, everyone. Hare Krishna. I'm Chagalpataru Vishnupad. Thank you.